now. Can everybody hear me? Oh, sorry, I'm just a little overwhelmed. I have a script. I prepared myself for today, but I feel like the Lord is leading me in a different direction. And I felt like today when we were worshiping, I just felt like the songs that were chosen were really very wonderful. It's so important to worship the Lord, and the words that were used in these songs were just so profound and really helped me, you know, to pray to God in the worship and to enter into His presence. Because I have to be honest with you, for me this is a new beginning today, and I believe it's also a new beginning for you too. And I was called to the United States of America to bless the American people, and for me I am just humbled, and I'm actually trembling, because this is an opportunity I can bless you today. You know, it's not about God, it's not about me, it's about you today. And I've been travailing in this message. I've been pregnant with it. I've never been pregnant, I don't have any kids, but I've sure been pregnant with messages. And when Lisa asked me to speak, I didn't even have to pray about it. I knew that was my time, because I have been called to America as a missionary to the American people. And during the worship time, I really felt an anguish that my message today would not be just watered down, my message would not just be stale bread, but it would be fresh bread. I also bake my own bread, a little advertisement now. When I came to America, I just missed my own bread, so I've been baking hundreds of loaves of bread. I recommend you try it at lunch. I bake 12 loaves. It's crunchy on the outside and soft on the inside. But what I wanted to say is I want to deliver fresh bread. And perhaps this script here is not so fresh, so bear with me. The Lord has already given me some insight since yesterday evening. I thought, okay, here we go again. I can perhaps trash this and just listen to Him, what He wants to say to bless you. I remember when I met Lisa for the first time. It was in 2007, around about end of December, and my husband and I, Mark, we met on a Christian website. ChristianMingle.com, for all you that are still single. ChristianMingle.com. And I was single for 13 years since my conversion. I'm now 52, going on for 53. But when I got saved, I was 35. And since 35, I was single. And they would, you know, prophesy that I was getting a husband, and he was just not to be found. And I just had to wait and wait and wait. And then anyway, I got on this Christian side and I met Mark. It was like mid-November 2007. And a month later, on December 25th, I flew over to America. Well, first of all, my friends in the Swiss church, they said, well, actually, he should come over. You know, it's not always the women that run after the men. It should be the men that run after the women. But I want to be honest with you today, also transparent. I think we can be honest with each other in the body of Christ and let down our masks and walls and just be transparent and authentic. My husband couldn't come to a Switzerland because he owed the government child support. He was in prison on and off 6 years, and he roamed the streets of Columbus for 7 years. He was a drug addict, a heavy drug user, drug addict. And so he couldn't come to Switzerland. It would have been romantic, you know, Prince Charming comes over for me, but I had to go over. But my pastors in Switzerland, they felt it in the spirit that he was a good guy. They just felt it. They hadn't seen him yet. But okay, I took this step of faith. I bought my ticket. Well, I had mileage. Well, anyway, I flew to Chicago, and then the doors from the Swiss airline would not open. It was so cold, they froze. So I missed my flight to Des Moines. And so I had to stay overnight in Chicago, and then the next day I flew them at 10:30 or something like that. I arrived in Des Moines. His mother was there too. I said, "Hey, honey, if I meet you the first time, I don't really want to meet you first, not your mother." I mean, I want to meet her, but first I want to meet you, you know. So I just made that clear, not that he was, you know.
Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Shall I start from the beginning? No.
We want to hear everything you're saying.
Yeah, okay. And then, so I just remember meeting Lisa and her husband with this big table. We were eating pork chops. And Mark was over there, James was over there, and Lisa was over there, and I here. They were just a distance away. It seemed like I was on an island being interviewed. You know, who is this Swiss? This Swiss miss, by the way, I'm not Swedish. I work at the hotel here in town. People think, why are you not blonde and blue-eyed? Well, I'm not Swedish, I am Swiss. And Swiss is from Switzerland. And so I got to know them, and Mark was over there, and I was just sweating because I thought, I hope they accept me, you know. But they did, and that's how I got to know Lisa. And then Lisa asked me now in December if I would speak at the conference, and I said, yeah, right away. Great opportunity to speak. And I also think now that's really nice. In the worship team, we had some men too. It's not solely women. We also have brothers in Christ, you know. And my husband is here too. He was wondering if he could come. I said, no, it's a women's conference. You can't come. It's only for women. But here he is. You know, and I want to share also about him. Because he is he's really my best friend. And isn't that nice as a husband that you have him as a brother and as a priest and a provider and a protector? And he's got extreme potential. I remember when I prayed for him back in Switzerland, I wanted a guy with a gray beard and nice hands. That was the outer features. Of course, the inner features was I wanted the Christian and so on. Now, of course, I have a guy with a beard. I don't like it when he shaves it. And he's got beautiful hands. And I wanted somebody, a man that was open for change. That was the most important thing I wanted. And by golly, he is really wonderful. I'm so glad that I have a friend. Because when I was, little, I grew up in a home with a twin brother and a mother from England. That's why I speak perhaps a little British English in a German-speaking environment. I really didn't have much friends, actually. I didn't have any friends. I was Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic home, but we were not believing. Only at the age of 35 did I give my life to Christ, and since then, yeah, everything has changed, and I have become a friend. And so it's nice that we have some men here too. See, we can't do it without men. We have the guy. I know you also from Fairfield. He's doing the technic. And then we have a guy here that did the wonderful guitar. We can't do it without each other. This is really on my heart. I'm going to speak about relationships also in the house with the husband. This is I think, the most profound relationship we can have in this earth next to Christ, is our relationship with our spouse and the order in the home. And I also wanted to tell you that I brought some celebrities with me. Yesterday night, he already came with me, and I just felt, wow, this is really going to be quite something here. We are in the sanctuary of God, in the holiest of holiest place, and the Father is here, and this is who I have brought. The Father is here, and the Holy Spirit came with me, and Jesus Christ, they are here. And when I saw this yesterday, this sign, Daughters of the King, I had a reverence. I thought, wow, yeah, the daughters of the King are here, not daughters of the world. No, the daughters of the King of Kings are here. They are assembled. And that gave me such a, I was shaken. I was shaken by surprise that it's an appointed time for you today. It's not about him. He's somewhere. I know he's somewhere. The Holy Spirit is somewhere too, watching. The angels are here, and they are watching over you. And the message that these international speakers have on their hearts is from the throne of God. Because let's face it, ladies, it's time for change. And it's not time for change in the world. It's time for you to change. And Jesus only used him and 12 disciples and turned the whole world upside down. And it's time for change. I know Obama says that too. It's time for change, but we mean, of course, different change, you know. And it just needs a handful. It just needs a few people to change the world. And I am here on a mission from God to bless the American people. I am not making myself famous, but I want to make him famous in your life. And I am here to minister to you, so I brought a bucket with me and a mop. And I brought some things I want to share. That's how I minister the best. Excuse me. I'm on the radio on KBIC since 2009. I'm on a secular radio station, and I air a devotion in the morning and in the afternoon. In the morning it's at around about 8:20, and in the afternoon it's at 3:45. A 90-second devotion. And I share situations out of my life. And so last night I was in the kitchen and I looked at this plant, and I have to just tell you a story about it because it concerns you. You know, this plant my husband and I bought a while ago because we wanted to beautify our house, well, our kitchen. And we didn't have much money, so we bought this plant. And this plant was like $1. And it was a little green plant, and, well, not so pretty. It was just small and dull, but we still bought it because we wanted to beautify our our kitchen, and we just didn't have much money. But I tell you, this plant is just miraculous. We've been watering it, although it didn't move much, it didn't grow much. We just thought, well, you have to water a plant, otherwise it'll die. But it didn't move much. But all of a sudden did it start to move. And it's grown, and it's grown. And yesterday when I was in the kitchen, I looked at it again, and I saw this thing, these little things coming here, and these leaves coming here. And I just had such a joy when I looked at this plant. And it was like the Lord was looking at this plant, and the Lord is looking at you like this plant. You know, you were perhaps insignificant, but the Lord has made you significant. And he's watered you, and you used to be, you know, not worthy, and now he's made you worthy. a total transformation like this plant just by watering, just by taking good care. And that's what the Lord has been doing to you. And so when I was looking at this, I had so compassion about this plant, so much hope that it didn't die. I mean, no effort from me. I just watered it and it grew. It grew in a good environment. The kitchen is nice and warm and it has light. And that's like, you know, how the Lord sees you. You know, when you came to Christ, you were in darkness, but you came to the light, and then he started to pamper you, he started to water you, he started to have compassion over you, he blessed you, he loves you, and you started to grow. You know, this plant didn't just grow from one second to another. It was just a great plant. It just takes time. And you know, I think one of the criteria of a daughter of the king is that she has endurance, that she has stamina. You know, when you were in darkness, you had stamina too. I mean, I can talk about my husband, I can talk about myself too. I mean, it's a good thing, because Drox is always a good example. I mean, he had such stamina, he roamed the streets of Columbus for 7 years and survived. I mean, you are all survivors. In the darkness, you were survivors. I was a sinner. I didn't go to prison, but I did a lot of things that just were not discovered. If they were discovered, I might have landed in prison too, or perhaps in a loony bin in a psychiatric ward. And so, I'm going to be talking now, you know, as daughters of the king. Yeah, what is that, you know? As a daughter of the king, I was thinking about that. You are a princess. You know, I'm thinking about this conversation. Yeah, all of a sudden I think, yeah, that's a princess. Royal. Do you know how royal you are, you know? Do you know that you serve the King of Kings? He's your daddy. And that is so important in today's world. If you want to be effective in the kingdom, in the kingdom of God, and in the world, of course, it's an unseen kingdom. It's a secret. But we all know he's here. We all know now is the kingdom of God is here, and we have to carry that out. And you need to know that you are a princess, that you are royal. Look, I'm just showing you how royal you are. That's what I bought yesterday. Honey, we have to go to Walmart. I have to get a crown. You know, is a princess a princess in the kingdom of God that wears always that crown? Is it like Kate Middleton? You know Kate Middleton? She's the princess of England. Is she always nice hair and always dressed good, jewelry, representation next to her husband? What is a princess in the kingdom of God? You know, it's a shame that Lisa is not here. I wonder where she had to go, because for me, a princess in the kingdom of God is she. The mop, that's the kingdom of God. That's the position of the princess in the kingdom of God. I'm going to explain why. Because recently I went to visit Lisa in the office, and she's a youth pastor. And you know, you think, okay, a pastor, he sits up at the pulpit, which he does, or she does. He has office and all that position. But you know what? I was going to look for her. I didn't see her in the office. Where was she? She was cleaning the Celex hall. With the mop, and I just freaked out when I saw that. And it drives my tears in the eyes when I see that, because that is the very heart of God. Because Jesus wasn't on his throne with his crown. He was not. He did have a crown at the end, but he never walked around in the crown. And we have to, as princesses and princes of the Almighty, we need to represent him, Jesus, the humble one, the servant, you know. And I recently went, a lady gave me an opportunity to clean her house. She gave me $20 per hour. I'm not going to tell who it is, huh? She gave me $20 to clean her house. I don't clean anymore for her. But, well, it was not because I didn't clean well. I don't know if it was too high, but she offered $20. I said, I'll take it, I'll clean her house. But I have to tell you this story, and I know I'm telling a lot of stories, but I'm telling you about the how I experienced God in my life. So she gave me this little sponge and tells me to clean her husband's bathroom floor with this little sponge. Ridiculous, I am thinking. I mean, in Switzerland, we take bigger sponges, and she gives me a little bucket with a little bit of water, and I didn't say anything. I get $20 an hour, I'll do that. And so I went upstairs. She has a bathroom, he has a bathroom. So I kneel on my knees, and I scrub this bathroom floor around the toilet. That's important, around the toilet there. And I scrub this, and whilst I'm on my feet, on my knees, I have to cry. I have to cry because this is the position of a servant. This is the position of a princess in the kingdom of God, is this servanthood. And whilst I was scrubbing the floor, I felt so much close to Jesus. And every time we serve the needy, we go into the prisons, or we have somebody to come in our house and feed them, I always feel that I am right spot on with Jesus when I'm doing that. And so I came down, and her husband was in the office, and I said, hey, did you know that you are a king? He said, no. I said, well, your wife told me to wash your bathroom floor with such a small sponge. It's spotless. It's spotless, the floor. You are a king. Oh, it was just amazing. So we are a princess in the kingdom, and we probably don't walk around like this. But you do have a crown, and you need to walk in this worthiness of knowing that you are a daughter of the King. That's why it's so important to know the presence of God, to know Him intimately. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship, and that just takes time. Because when you know Him, you know who you are. And then, of course, all the masks and the walls will fall down, and you will be authentic. And you will be able to serve in a profound way. I'm just having a look because I have been speaking about without the script, so I don't want to miss anything. So just give me time. Yeah, I covered that. Okay, how does a servant look like? Well, I can tell you out of my experience now at the hotel. I work at the Hampton Inn for a year now. And the Lord told me He's going to teach me about hospitality and servanthood. And I am an outsider there. I am a challenger to the team because they're all, experienced. Now I come. And going to teach them about hospitality, godly hospitality, and godly servanthood. And I know in some eyes I'm a little bit a thorn, but the Lord told that to me. And so it's quite interesting how I'm working there, especially when I clean the toilets. I work at the front desk, but we have to clean the toilets as well. I don't not only check in guests from different nations. I speak German, French, English, and a little Hebrew. I've used all the languages here in Atama. You would think Atama is a sleeping nest where the foxes and the rabbits say goodnight to each other. Not so. Atama is quite an interesting place. We have people from China, Japan, France, Germany, England, Switzerland. We had one guest from Switzerland, Ireland as well, of course. She's staying with us right now. Hey, that was, by the way, that was cool. Miriam is staying at our hotel and she got a complimentary room. I talked with my manager and she gave her a free room. Isn't that cool? So, yeah, we speak blessing on you, Megan, now in Jesus' name. So I clean the toilets there too, and when I'm cleaning the toilets, I always have to chuckle, you know. I don't really want to clean toilets, especially not the men. I have to tell you, men's toilets are more dirty than the women's toilets. I don't know if you knew that. Oh, you clean your toilets at home probably, huh? Well, I do. My husband rarely cleans the toilets, only if I'm probably sick, which I'm never. But normally I clean the toilets. that's a kind of position I have there, serving the guests. But no, let's look at, I picked one. It was Proverbs 31, of course, we always take that, but please take that for yourself. I mean, Proverbs 31 woman, I mean, first of all, she has character. I mean, that is really something. We need to develop character. And you know how character is developed? First of all, I have to tell you, you don't have character. You don't really have character. Nobody, no one has character. But as you submit to the difficulties in life, your character will be sharpened, like a pencil, in a pencil sharpener. That's how you're going to be sharpened. So you have to yield to the difficulties of life. I know that's a difficult message, but it is true. Life is hard, but it's easier with God than without. And so if you want to have character, then you have to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Then the Proverbs 31 woman, well, you and me need to be willing. You always need to be willing. Willing to do. Willing, willing, willing. Not your own will, but the will of the Holy Spirit. You know, yesterday I had an argument with a lady. She felt like she wanted to minister to me. I didn't want her to minister to me at all over the phone. And I really treated her a little bit like, hey, I have no time for you. And I didn't treat her very well. Felt like from the Holy Spirit I needed to apologize. Didn't want to apologize, really. And at Walmart, I felt, no, I'm going to humble myself. And my husband helped me also to overcome that pride. And so I called her and I said, hey, I want to apologize. I really didn't treat you very well. So we need to be willing to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Hey, a Proverbs 31 woman, you are precious. Precious. Precious is something rare. Yeah, I mean, you always can look at a diamond, how it's cut. I mean, when you harvest it, it's ugly. It doesn't have any shape or form, but when the diamond is formed, it sparkles, it's precious, it's rare. That's what you are. You are rare, Jennifer. You're rare. You're rare. And you can say that with boldness. Say, yeah, I am rare. Why don't you say that all together? That's the great thing about America. Let's say it all together. I am rare. Yeah, we don't do that in Switzerland. I had to get used to it here in America, but I think it's good. You have to say that to yourself. I am rare like a diamond. One of the things Proverbs 31 woman is, she is hardworking. I think that is really important. Me at the hotel, I'm working all the time. We Swiss people, we are like the Germans, you know. VW car, German engineering, we work hard. And the guests, it's good when the guests see us when we work hard. You know, you wouldn't believe it. I put out at 6 o'clock, I put the candles out. And I always think, oh, they don't see it. But recently a guest came to me and said, hey, it's so nice, we've been talking about you. Always at 6 o'clock, you put the candles out. And I thought, they don't see that. I mean, it's a minor thing. It's not a big thing. But obviously, they notice it. And they watch me. And they always say, oh, you're hardworking. And then I have Mr. Kulp from Georgia. He says, every time he sees me going back there, cleaning the toilets, he always shakes his head. Oh, you have to do that, too. Yes, I have to do that, too. So, but they like to see that hard work, not lazy, always in the back texting or, well, what do you want? And so, no, I mean, that's what we need to be as princess. We need to be hardworking. Oh, that's a good one. The next one, prosperous. We need to be a fruitful vine. There needs to be growth. Growth, ladies, you know? I mean, sometimes I'm amazed at myself, and I'm not saying this to boast about myself, but let's face it, I mean, I was in Switzerland, I worked for a company in marketing, then I came to America, didn't have a work authorization because I had to go through immigration, and so I was cleaning the house a little bit more than I do now, so I had more time to clean the house. I was really good, now I'm not so good anymore, but my husband is a good cleaner, by the way. When he cleans, the house is clean. When I clean, I just like to bask in the presence of the Lord, write some devotions, and so on. But he's really good. He really cleans well. But, you know, since I'm here in America, hey, I'm on a radio station. Not bad. For free. I don't have to pay. I've published a book like Miriam, and This is a Clown. I've been to the prisons. Just a few things. But, yeah. Is there growth in your life? You know, have you expanded what the Lord has given you? If not, I'm just encouraging you. Everybody has something to give here. Everybody. And the point is to pour out. Even if you think, my gift is so small. Hey, it starts all out like this little plant. The Lord waters it and then it grows. It's not about you. You just pour out what you have and the Lord will expand it. Oh, another one is also very nice. I hope I'm not boring you or you're falling asleep. Huh? I hope not. And I have to quickly ask, how long do I have? I'm just going to talk as much as I can and then I'll let Dizzy the Clown speak. If somebody could just tell me then how long I have. Compassionate. Compassion, huh? That's also something we don't have. No, I mean, we don't have that unless the Lord shapes our heart and he starts with us. Huh? He starts to addressing those evil thoughts. You know, I mean, the good thing about being married is you can't hide before your partner. He will see it right away. Especially if you're married before God and you're united in the Spirit, you can't fool him. You can't fool your husband. In Switzerland, we say you can let the pig out. Du kannst die Sau rauslassen in German. And that means you can be ugly, and he still loves you. Huh? You can go to him and say, hey, honey, I was really ugly there. Will you forgive me? He always forgives me. So cool. And it is that I'm not going to behave the same again. Or sometimes I behave the same. I go again. Oh, sorry, honey. Would you forgive me? And then we're united again. Or he comes to me and says, oh, sorry, yesterday I wasn't so nice with you. Yeah, that's true. and then he says, will you forgive me? Of course I will. We need to be, and the next one is also good, bold. You know, I was sweating a little bit about this today because this is my first official speaker thing. I mean, I speak in the prisons, but normally my husband speaks, and I speak on the radio and so on, but this is my first engagement, and I thought, if I lose the thread, we say, if I suddenly don't know what I want to say, and like I said, I've been pregnant with this message for 3 months. You are responsible for that, because when Lisa asked me, little did she know that I was in travail about you, because I really wanted to bring a message that would be life-changing, because, you know, not another conference. No, we want to have a conference which is life-changing, where you will go out and think, gosh, yeah. And I want to carry that anointing from the Lord. I want my words to be salted so that it would prick your hearts and would change something in you. And I know right now as I'm speaking that some of you are hungry and are receiving those seeds which I'm speaking right now. And in your heart you are desiring to become like that. And I'm just telling you, it's happening right now, your transformation. It's not a big deal in the kingdom of God that you have to go home and repent and go on your knees and blah, blah, blah. You can do it right now. Right now, as you are receiving my words or his words through me, the transformation is already starting to happen. Elisa, how long do I have to speak? Oh, only 10 more minutes, 15 minutes. Okay, look, I have 6 more pages, but I'm going to just concentrate on what I need to say. That's me. I think the Lord is doing something new in me. I can write down all the stuff, but really I want to share from my heart, because that's where I feel secure. That's where I can share with you and be authentic. But I remember I was talking with Jennifer Carricker about this conference, and I knew it was about friendship. So I was asking her, well, what do you want me to talk about? And she said something really profound, which really helped me. She said, just speak from your heart. And I asked Lisa, she said, well, why don't you give a testimony, speak about friendship? And I'm doing that. But I liked what Jennifer said. She said, speak from your heart. And that really comforted me, made me calm down. I said, oh, okay, I just have to speak what is in my heart, and that will be good enough. Okay, I think I will then just, I've talked about the position. Who's on Facebook? Ah, now we see the reality of Facebookers here. Okay, me too, I love it. But as a friend in the kingdom of God, are you like a Facebook friend? You know, you have your friends and you post every day what you're doing, what is a friend in the kingdom of God? Friend in the kingdom of God is, of course, not like a Facebook friend, you know. It's much more binding, you know. If you have a friend, then that is for life. It's until death do us part, that's your friend. If that's your spouse, if that's your girlfriend, your friendly friend, or so, it's for life. The world needs to see the friendship we have in the body of Christ. Because let's face it, we are key players in the whole game. Not they. They not. The world cannot give me anything anymore. I'm not going to listen. I have something to give to them, because Jesus lives in me. And so, if we are talking about friendship today, we are talking about godly friendship. And I want to tell you, I was never really a friend. I didn't have a friend when I was growing up. And I had a lot of relationship with men, trying to find my identity. My father didn't give me enough recognition. That's why I looked in the world for recognition. I found it in the relationships with men. But still, that really broke my back. And that's why I got saved in 1995. And in 1995, the Lord had ordained that to meet my first godly friend. And I brought something with you. It made the way over from Switzerland. It's very dear to me. And I'm just looking for it now. It's so small. Here it is. This is it. It's a pencil. And in 1995, by divine ordination from the Lord, I found Danilo. I was 35, she was 18. She just got saved 1 year before. And Danilo is my godly mother. And she's my mentor. She's my friendly friend. She's my best friend. And she would shower me when I got saved. She would shower me with gifts. She gave me this pencil. And of course, this pencil is 18 years old and shows you just how much I love her. And it says at the end of the pencil, it says, Jesus liebt Kinder. And it means Jesus loves kids, children. And I've just sharpened this pencil all the time through the years. And I said to Daniela today, I will bring this to you to show you how precious she is in my sight. She also gave me this shell. And this oil, it's a cherry blossom oil, which you can put in here, and it smells really nice. And these items I had to just bring to America when I came in 2008. I had to leave a lot of things behind, at the end, I only had two suitcases, and I gave a lot of things away, my vacuum cleaner, my clothes, my books, but these things I had to take with me. And she's, we've been bonded servants, armor bearers for each other for 18 years. And she once said to me, I would like to meet a missionary. I said, I have a missionary, Claude. I know a missionary. I just met him recently. I got saved. I met Claude. I met Daniela. You get the thing. He said the Lord told him that he would meet his wife at the end of December in 2008. Not 2008. 1995. End of December. By golly, they met in our house. And 5 years later, they got married. I was their best matron of honor. They got married. And Claude is my best friend, too. He's my godly spiritual father. He's 42. I'm 53 now. Soon, they got married. And he took me down the aisle when I got married to Mark. They came over to marry me. That's how important I am to him. But I have to tell you about a moment with Daniela. You know, I always struggled with acceptance and recognition. It's difficult for me to accept love. I've always struggled also with the love of God, just that he would love me so much. But I knew if I could receive that, that would be my healing point. And then I was with Daniela in Florida. The Lord built them a house for $240,000 because they need to be in America, you see? God is not finished with America. He's sending missionaries over to help you. And so I was in her house, and we've struggled with money too, because it's, you know, coming from a rich country like Switzerland and earning $90,000 and going down to $725 minimum wage has been quite a challenge for me. But I have to tell you, ladies, I've really learned how to save and be thankful for $725. It's just a miracle that the Lord does in my heart, because $90,000 before was like $40 an hour, then coming down to $725. It's a whole thing. But anyway, I had to sacrifice a lot, and I was in her house, and I was in her bedroom, and she had those night lights which she bought, and she said that I could choose night lights to take home with me. And you know, I wouldn't take like six. Okay, thank you. I would just want to have one, you know, which is, no, take as many as you want. Take as many soaps as you want. Take as many cups you want. Take as many knives you want. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to bless. And for me, it was so difficult to take more than one night lamp. I would have liked to just take one, just one. But no, she wanted to have me more. And it was just something what the Lord was doing in my heart. And then she embraced me, and she said something so profound. She said, I will love you forever. And when she said that, I will love you forever, that just did something in my heart. I just knew for the first time that I am accepted. And she gave me this necklace. It says friend forever. It's just wonderful to have a friend that is there for you. I know she's here for me. You know, when you have a friend, you don't have to squeeze out a prayer. You're always there for that friend. You are cooking and you feel something in the spirit and you pray, you intercede. You know, that's one of the things of a daughter of the king. She intercedes, but not with a list. Yeah, lists are good, but the Lord wants to do something different, that you are moved by the spirit, not by religion or by a certain thing like we do. You are all unique. Like I am unique, you are unique, and you need to do it your way. You don't need to do it like your neighbor or like Lisa. And she's a great worship pastor. She's an example how one should, you know, just, she's an example. She's a leader. She's leading kids. That's why she's a youth pastor. But you have your own ministry. Charlene Anderson, by the way, I have to tell that she didn't pay me, but she is the best hairdresser in town, believe me. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Look. Look. You know, she did my hair, and she's reasonable, and I always give her a tip as well because I feel she needs to be blessed too. You know, this is my relationship with Claude and Daniela. I know I can't go into details, but, you know, one of the things is that Jesus also, you know, he lived 3 years with his disciples. I find, ladies, discipleship is extremely important, living with each other. When I was in Switzerland, we lived with each other. I mean, I ironed so many shirts from my brothers to help the women with their husbands that they didn't have to iron. I looked after kids, I cooked. I had a car from a friend in church. We shared things with each other. It's so amazing when you second-hand clothes, they come around again. You give them away and then they come around again, you know. And we share things with, we have to share life with each other. It's not good enough that we just go to church, you know, once a week. You see this lady on the bench next, oh, hello, and then you greet and pastor speaks and you worship, pray, and then you go back because the roast is in the oven and you need to eat, and then that's it for the week. No, it needs to be daily. That's really what the Lord wants to do. Daily fellowship, and it starts with you. It doesn't start with Charlotte. If you're looking over to Charlotte and say, yeah, yeah, or, yeah, yeah, you need to do it. No, no, it's with you too, Jenna, yeah. It's with you too. It's you too. It's you too, you know, and it's contagious. If you start to do it and it's authentic, other people will do it too. So Jesus is, of course, this role model. Hey, David and Jonathan also, what a great relationship they had. I encourage you to read that story. We cannot go into details. 1 Samuel 18. Take time and read the relationship David had with Jonathan. And whilst you are reading, why don't you just journal and ask the Lord how he's speaking to you through this relationship and how you can develop a relationship with your friend. You know, I am sure that there are some ladies in here that don't have that relationship with another friend, but you have to first be the friend, and I promise you, you will get a friend. And, well, I want to just share then, what time now, until when? Yeah, okay, just situation I want to just picture, and I know that will encourage but also challenge most of you, is my relationship I have with my husband. You know, I once told my husband, when I die, I want on my gravestone, I want to say that it says, he knew him face to face. And you know what, once, I don't know, we were in prison or somewhere, he said that. When my wife dies, she wants that on her gravestone. It just broke me that he would remember that, you know. And then when we got married, he composed a song. One of the things is, you are my sister and my bride. But I was so excited getting married in America and all that stuff. I don't remember the song, but recently on Valentine's Day, he sang it again. And he said, my sister and my bride. And I would have bawled out loud in this church, but I didn't. But inside, there was a crier, an earthquake in my heart, that he would say that, my sister and my bride, and I know for sure that I am his sister and I am his bride, I am his confidant, and so on. Anyway, that's, I think, the end. I hope, you know, what I shared, I know that it touched you. I wanted to share more, but I think that's what the Lord wanted to share, and I'm glad that I survived 50 minutes. I was thinking, how will I survive 50 minutes? But I'm glad. So bless you, ladies. We'll see you later, and make sure. And make sure you taste the bread, okay? And come over. I have a book. And some other cards I make. If you want to buy something, I'm more than welcome to sell them to you. God bless you. Have a great day.